This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Here we go. It is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. He's smiling over there in Jersey. I'm sure he's happy to be home as we, what is it, Labor Day 2022. Also, Michael Lombardi, today is known as, wait, there's seriously only 3 days to go until we kick off the NFL season, which, of course, down the road here at SoFi with the Bills and Rams. What's going on, man?
No. Today is known as they're all going home today, Patrick. That's today. Today, everybody goes home. The line to get out of Ocean City, to get off this island will be insane. This is Labor Day weekend. Billy Joel had a great song he called his famous last words, where he talks about all these resort towns where people leave and they hang the sheets on the chandeliers. And that's what's going to happen here. So we get the town back starting tomorrow, which will be fun. And then we have football on Thursday. I mean, this is the greatest time of the year. I can't be happier.
And, of course, one more to go with Clemson, Georgia Tech there in Atlanta to close out week one of a wild roller coaster in college football. But just quickly, a callback on what you just said. There isn't going to be one last bash there in Ocean City today for Labor Day?
It's going to be one tonight?
Yeah, Labor Day. Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be one tonight. Yeah, of course we're going to have one.
So
of course,
so it's going to be lit.
Your man will show
up.
Yeah, of course he'll show up. He'll sit down in a chair. He'll make him a drink, and he'll orchestrate everything around, and then life goes on. Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah,
I have a question. This is the best time of the year.
I have a question about that, because we've got a thread going with Jick Jack and your boy Berman, and of course you. And over the weekend, Berman was literally just sending us pictures of him dressed in drag. I know this is a family show, but can you help me understand what was going on there?
Well, I mean, look, it is so bad.
I mean,
they have this
fantasy
dress. They have this fantasy draft, and for their fantasy draft, all his friends from high school, college, whatever, they all come together in Ocean City, and they have a theme. And this year's theme was 70s disco. So they all dressed up in the 70s disco look. And then they go out after the draft. They go out into the Summers Point, the neighboring little towns that have bars, and they wear their wigs, their fake mustaches, and they just go out, and you know, and I just shake my head. I mean, Big Daddy Vince
sure
ran into them over there. They ran I don't go. I'm not in this group. This is not my group. I don't go.
Okay. For those new to the show, of course, Berman is Michael's neighbor and the king of Ocean City, New Jersey. BDV is the number one Packers fan and Michael's cousin.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get started.
We got them all coming tonight.
Okay.
We got them all coming tonight.
I look forward to hearing about
it for you.
I look forward to seeing videos. M. Lombardi NFL, make sure you post them. Just quickly, Clemson, Georgia Tech, as I mentioned, closing out week one. Michael, this number opened as low as 18. We got up as high as 24, and now we've hit back down to 23.5. Let's wait and delve into that game in just a little bit, because we have to start with Brian Kelly's debut as the LSU head coach last night. I mean, as far as drama closing off a Sunday night heading into Labor Day, it doesn't get much better than that. You had essentially a walk-off on a block extra point. You had a special teams nightmare and meltdown. You know what's interesting? You know what's interesting about the LSU special teams, and this is floating around social media, the one assistant that followed Brian Kelly from Notre Dame to LSU, special teams coordinator, meltdown last night.
Yeah, I think Notre Dame fans felt the same way about their special teams. Brian Polian, the son of Bill Polian, unfortunately had a bad night last night. And what's concerning from Brian's standpoint is you get that field goal blocked earlier in the game, and then you think you're going to get that fixed, and then all of a sudden you get another kick blocked. I mean, that can't happen. You're either coaching it or allowing it to happen, and that can't happen. But look, I think there's a broader picture here, Patrick. I think this plays into our week one handicapping. I think special teams is going to determine a few of these games on Saturday, on Sunday, and Thursday night. I think there's not enough attention because of the shorter practices, because of the lack of contact. I think special teams has a huge role. Onside kicks become prevalent this time of the year. So I think that game should serve as a reminder to all head coaches, all 32 of them, hey, we got to nail down this kicking game, because this can be a way to lose, as Brian Kelly did in his debut. And it's funny, the line, what, was 2.5, and it worked up to 4? I mean, if Kelly kicks the field goal and makes the extra point, he wins by 4.
Yeah, it's fascinating. By the way, there's your VSiN Pro tip for the hour. You get 20 across the board here when you become a VSiN Pro subscriber over at VSiN.com. And really, it's so important. If you ask Bill Belichick, he'd probably say it's the most important aspect of the game of football, and that is special teams. Don't sleep on special teams metrics when handicapping.
No doubt. And you've got to look into it, and you've got to cover the details. And I think because of the lack of tackling, because of the physicality in pro and in college, you know, the return game is so important. You know, the return game becomes so important. Where do you get the ball at the 40? I mean, you know, look, the other thing is game management. I thought Mike Norvell, when they got the punt back, right, when the kid fumbled the second punt of the night and they got the ball, what was it, at the 5?
Yeah,
right there. It was at the 5-yard line with, what, 140 to go in the game? If he nails down 3 times.
Yes.
And kicks the field goal, it's an onside kick game. The touchdown really doesn't matter. It does and it doesn't. It, you know, it's an, what you, the job of the head coach is to make it an onside kick game, a 2-score game, right? So not only does Notre Dame have to drive it down the field, they also got it, the odds of that are pretty slim. The way Notre Dame drove, LSU, about Brian Kelly, I slipped. But the way LSU took forever to make it 24-17, could there have been a slower 2-minute drive than what LSU had in that 24-17 one?
Well, a couple things here. What you talked about yesterday on the weekend edition of the Lombardi Line was so many transfers for Brian Kelly at LSU, a new program. Was this team going to be prepared? Were they ready to gel? They certainly weren't, because it was mistake after mistake. Let me walk you through what you're talking about, and then I want you to pick it up with your mind, kind of what both teams should have done. Okay, remember, 24-17, LSU is down 7 with 2:20 to go. A muff punt. Florida State recovers the punt. 3rd and goal, Florida State, a goal line pitch. Fumbles the football, Ward, the running back. LSU recovers. They drive, they score. Touchdown. And then again, FSU with the block on the extra point attempt. So let's back up a little bit. The muff punt, how about the pitch, Florida State on 3rd and goal? Did you have an issue with that?
Why would we do that? Why would we do that? Why? I mean, see, this whole generation forgets Joe Pisarcik and Larry's and the fumble in the Meadowlands that allowed Herm Edwards to pick the ball up and the Eagles to make their first playoff game under Dick Vermeil. I mean, you can't do something like that. You can't flip the ball there. There's no advantage. 3 is as good as 7. Now, I know there's a strong movement out there that 3 points are meaningless. I get that. But when you could make that a 2-point game, if he just kneels it down and centers the ball so you're going to make the kick, you're winning the game. Why would you risk a pitch? It doesn't make any sense. Why would you risk it? Like, play the odds. Be control. I mean, if you're Mike Norvell and you're on the headset, no, we're not running that. No, we're not running that. Just kneel down. Just center the ball. I know he had 3 timeouts. Who cares? He's got to get 2 scores. He's got to get the onside kick, and he's got to make a field goal. That's not going to happen.
So the pitch was a big-time question, and then LSU and Jaden Daniels. Listen, Brian Kelly is going to lose his freaking mind all year with Jaden Daniels, because he is one of those that is so enticing, Michael Lombardi, the Arizona State transfer. He's so enticing because he's so athletic, and at times he shows that arm talent, but he is so inconsistent, and you just watch the inconsistency of Daniels throughout the day.
No doubt. I mean, and that drives you crazy because there's no predictability. I mean, the drive before the last drive, it took him forever. He's throwing flat routes. He's getting 5 yards at a clip. I think there was one time I said to Millie, he's got 11 attempts for 36 yards. This is a 2-minute drive. You got to throw in cuts. You got to throw seam. You got to get the ball down the field. If you're going to eat up as much clock as they did, you know, you're really helping the defense. You're not helping yourself. So I thought it was bad. Look, I think Brian Kelly obviously is going to sit back down in his office today in Baton Rouge and he's going to realize that the lack of detail that wasn't covered in that game falls on him. He's the head coach. It falls on his plate, and he's got to fix it. But that game was there to be won.
Also, he let the SEC down. Did you see the SEC was 13-0 going into that matchup, LSU-Florida State? The one loss in conference was, of course, LSU goes down to ACC and Florida State. It was, I mean, on the other side, for Norvell, year 3, this is important. When you get to year 3, you're really starting to cycle through your recruits, and Norvell needs to put together a season here, and that's a big win for Florida State.
I thought it was. I thought his team looks way better. I mean, as much criticism I'll give him on the pitch, but I thought his team was better. I thought the quarterbacking was better. I thought their defensive front, as we talked about, was the strength of their team, and it looked like it last night. You know, so I think, you know, that's a huge win for them. I mean, the fact that they gave up that late drive in the game where they basically went almost 99 yards down the field, that's disappointing. But you got to like Florida State's chances in an ACC. And tonight we'll find out how good Clemson really is. You know, we're going to find out, Willie, who is the best team in the ACC. And, you know, one thing about Manny Diaz, he recruited at Miami, and then, of course, Cristobal comes in, so they've got talent down there too. So it looks like the ACC could be filled with some really good teams right now, assuming where we are with Clemson tonight when we watch as they go against Georgia Tech.
Of course, your fourth betting favorite in the market, you can go DraftKings, you can go BetMGM to find it. Your fourth betting favorite in the market heading into the season for national championship behind the big three of Georgia, Alabama, and Ohio State was Clemson at 10-1. You talked about the defensive front of Florida State. Clemson's got four pros across their defensive front. The question after a disappointing 9-3 season last year, Michael, we just have a minute here, so we'll come back and cap this game. But the big question is, are they going to get going on offense? That was a dreadful offense last year for Clemson.
Yeah, I mean, and look, how long of a rope, and we'll talk about it, does DJ have? Or are they going to go to Klubnik, the highly touted freshman that they got coming in? You know, to me, that's going to come down to it. Can they compete at that level? It's going to come down to DJ.
Yeah, Klubnik was a two-time Texas State champ, undefeated 2 years in a row, just an absolute five-star stud, number one recruit at the position coming out of the 2022 class. So DJ, as we like to call him, because that last name is a trip, DJ has to perform.
It's yours.
When we come back, they're laying 23.5 in Atlanta. We'll get to Clemson, Georgia Tech next here at Lombardi Line.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app. That's BetMGM Sports. Of course, the King of Sportsbooks has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the Strip. Bring that state issued ID. You're ready to bet from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your style, you're going to love BetMGM state-of-the-art technology. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older. 1-800-522-4700. If you have a gambling problem, please gamble responsibly. When we talk about the VSiN Pro package, and I heard from a lot of listeners via email about how much money they won over the weekend from the College Football Betting Guide. Remember, when we say you get everything, and it's just 70 cents a day. So get over there, VSiN.com/subscribe, and become a VSiN Pro. As we welcome you back, how was the Michael Lombardi there? I'm Patrick Maher here. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. How was the trip back for you and Millie from visiting Jick Jack down in the bayou?
It was smooth, Patrick. It was great. But I got to tell you, it would have been fun to watch that LSU-Florida State game in that book. I'm sure, as Jick Jack said to us via text today, that it was insane, you know, especially when the field extra point gets blocked, you know, and the emotion. There were so many Florida State, you know, were so close to Baton Rouge when we were there. So that book was just unbelievable, the height of the moment. And, you know, if you had an LSU ticket for four, you know, you're thinking, I could cash this. I win this by six in overtime. I got it, right? You know?
Well, that is, and, yeah, I mean, that you know, is the, that's
you
the
so many other chances
SEC
to win it, right?
And plus, you're there in LSU country at the bow.
Yeah, and for me, this is another example of you handicap the game. You know, did you mishandicap the game because if you took LSU, did you mishandicap the game because LSU lost, or was it just the events that happened in the game? And I think it's more of things that weren't covered that you assumed Brian Kelly were going to get covered, especially in the kicking game, you know, and it took them a while to get going offensively and not to get Boutte the ball until the fourth quarter. I mean, that's almost malpractice, isn't it?
Boutte is, we talked about him yesterday in Jigba. You can put a couple others in the conversation, but the wide receiver there at LSU may be the best in the country. And he's got Jaden Daniels, all the jokes across social today about him entering the transfer portal once he figured out what Jaden Daniels was like in game time. I mean, it's going to be for Boutte, who's going to be a first round draft pick. That's going to be a long season with Jaden Daniels throwing him the football.
Yeah.
Okay.
All over the place. All over. Yeah, yes, sir.
He really is. And I actually went to there where your son's going to be coaching at Allegiant Stadium. I went to the bowl game, and it was Arizona State, I believe Wisconsin. And I saw Jaden Daniels in person, and it was he was even more erratic in person. The body language was bad. Now, he was going to leave the program, so maybe there was a little bit of that built into it. But, yeah, I wouldn't be optimistic about the quarterback position there at LSU. Now, optimism abounds as far as the quarterback position at Clemson. You mentioned DJ, but also Klubnik is there, the five-star recruit, number one, 2022 class. Let's get into this. I mentioned Clemson opened, you know, as low as 18 over at Circa. I believe BetMGM had it open 19. This is going to be in Atlanta. This is Georgia Tech's backyard, of course. It's up to 24 as we got a peak, and now back down to 23.5, a little buyback on Georgia Tech. But this is fascinating because Clemson, the expectations are sky high, Michael Lombardi, as they always are. But how about the disappointing 2021? 9-3. They weren't even sniffing the college football playoff. They didn't even make an ACC championship game. So that was uncharted territory for Dabo and Clemson last year.
Yeah, and you know, and then they lose Tony Elliott to Virginia, and then they lose Brent Venables to Oklahoma. So he's working with a completely new staff now without really much continuity within the staff in terms of DJ coming back. And DJ didn't play well for all the stars he got coming out of high school. He didn't play well, and they walk into a situation where they open up against their ACC rival, Georgia Tech, who didn't play well at all last year. Yeah, I was surprised that Jeff Sims, the quarterback for Georgia Tech, didn't go in the portal. I was kind of surprised by that. You know, I know Georgia Tech's a great school academically, but the way he looked as a freshman, I would have thought he would have said, you know what, this program, I need to go somewhere. He didn't. Credit to him. He's going to stick it through, see if he can improve. They've changed offensive coordinators again at Georgia Tech. You know, this is a hard one to handicap because there's so many moving pieces on both sides that I thought the line would open up at least around 21, three touchdowns based on the way Georgia Tech played last year. But it's funny that I just said that because one of the rules I think you have to invoke in the week one of betting is forget about last year. Just forget about last year. I think I learned that with the Ohio State-Notre Dame game. Forget about last year. That momentum that Ohio State had in the Rose Bowl, it didn't carry over into week one.
We can circle back on Clemson, but quickly with Jeff Collins, year four there at Georgia Tech. This could be ugly this year, Michael. This could be very ugly because they lost as much as anybody in the nation in the transfer portal. You lost a bunch of players in the transfer portal off a 3-9 team. What does that tell you, including their number one runner and Gibbs? Their second runner went to the NFL. So they have a lot of holes to fill. I mentioned year four of Jeff Collins. I would imagine this is it for him. If he doesn't show something 4 years at Georgia Tech, it'll be interesting. But this is a team in Georgia Tech that has an uphill battle in the ACC this year.
No doubt. But last year, their defense played against Clemson really well. I mean, they gave them a tough time. I mean, part of it was, you know, the problem. I think they lost 14-8, and they had a chance to win the game. I mean, you know, they're going to have to rely on Jeff Sims to really play at this highest level. And based on what I've seen a little bit of Jeff Sims and DJ, Jeff Sims seems like the better player. I mean, this is a big game for Clemson. We know their front's good. We know their defense is good. They'll miss Venables, there's no doubt. They'll miss his adjustments during the game, there's no doubt. However, that being said, I want to see where they are offensively. I want to see if they have the kind of quarterback that can compete with these other elite teams.
So Georgia Tech.
And if they don't, Patrick, when do they go to Clint?
What's interesting about Georgia Tech, you nailed it. They opened up, remember, in September and played Clemson very well. They lost 14-8, and then they closed the season, Georgia Tech, on a 1-7 ATS run over the last eight overall. They got blanked by Clemson. They got blanked by Notre Dame to finish off the year. That's Georgia Tech. Now, let's talk about Clemson. Offense was terrible last year, 82nd nationally in points per game, a little over 26. They do return 9 starters on offense. The problem with Clemson on offense outside of the quarterbacks, they just don't have a ton of explosion. Now, they have more explosion than what you're used to with like a Georgia Tech team or anybody else in the ACC because they are Clemson, but the Justin Rosses and some of those names are missing. The question I have for you is DJ and Klubnik. Now, what does Dabo do? This is a very fine balance as far as disrespecting DJ, who's going to be the starter, but also knowing you've got the number one recruit at the position and quarterback and Klubnik behind him.
Well, I think he's got to make the best decision for the team. And if DJ struggles, I think he goes to Klubnik. And look, that's what the transfer portal's for. You know, that's what the – I mean, there's no – you know, if DJ can't deliver, it's go to the next guy because he can transfer. He can go somewhere else. But they've got it. They should have a sense of this right now. I mean, I would suspect if you talk to anybody on Clemson's offensive staff or Dabo, they know where this thing's going to end up by midseason. And DJ didn't process. I didn't think he played fast. For all his athletic skill, I didn't think it came to him very quickly. I thought it was a lot of hesitation in his throws and his delivery. Now, maybe they've changed the offense to modify it around DJ. This is what we're looking for today as handicappers going forward. But, you know, Georgia Tech played them well last year. I mean, their defense rallied. They just couldn't make a play in the passing game. And I think if that happens, Dabo knows that for him to win, to be where he wants to be, he needs blue chip play at quarterback.
Yeah, I'm looking at another under. Remember, 14-8 last year was the final. We're up to 51 on the total. Michael, this defense, Clemson seemingly has four pros in Brazee and Davis and Murphy and Thomas across that defensive front. They're comparing it to the 2018 defensive front. Yeah, and exactly.
Yeah, they got Henry too. I mean, they got Jeremiah Trotter's son in there. He plays middle linebacker. I mean, this is a really – I mean, look, I think the under's in play strongly here because I'm not sure either team's explosive offensively. We talk about both quarterbacks, but, you know, I think Sims is a guy that shows talent. He hasn't showed a lot of consistent play.
100%. It's an elite defense. The under is 20-6 in the Tigers' last 26 games in September overall. I expect that to continue this evening. They're going to hang their hat on that defense and hope the offense gels and gets better there with 9 returning starters on offense there at Clemson.
Yeah, this is, I mean, Jeff Collins is, you know, he got down there from Temple. He spilled, you know, like Matt Rhule, he had it going, but it hasn't really come together for him. It really hasn't. And I think ultimately this is a big game for both teams. Both teams kind of, just to get some credibility back at Georgia Tech, because the Georgia Tech alumni are not exactly happy. People think Georgia Tech's just an academic school. I mean, Bobby Dodds, they have a history of football, and they want to be at a higher level. You know, they changed and went back to a pro system. They got out of that Navy offense. But, I mean, I think this is a big game it's a huge game for Jeff Collins' program as we move forward, because if they look bad, they're going to be a team that the line is probably going to have a hard time adjusting to.
By the way, Klubnik, if you're winning back-to-back state champs in Texas, in the state of Texas at Westlake, that's pretty damn good, right? The competition
great
there
school.
Is wild.
Breeze, yeah. I think Breeze, but Baker, all those kids have gone there.
100%. Okay, how'd the books do yesterday, week one, college football? We'll find out next. Thomas Gable, Borgata, joins us here on a Labor Day edition of the Lombardi Line. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, become a VSiN Pro. That's the only way to get the college football betting guide. It's the only way to get the pro football betting guide, point spread weekly, the splits, everything we offer. And right now, you can get it half off, $175. It really, if you become a VSiN Pro, it's about 70 cents a day. You can afford that to make some money over a long football season. Remember, this offer goes through the Super Bowl. Go to vsin.com/subscribe for all your options, or you can join us for $40 a month and see everything VSiN has to offer to up your betting game. It's vsin.com/subscribe for more information. The betting guides are just invaluable. I encourage you to go check them out. We got you back here on a Lombardi Line on Labor Day 2022. I'm Patrick Maher. He, of course, is Michael Lombardi. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Hope you're having a nice weekend as we extend into Labor Day Monday. By the way, Chris Felica, our buddy over at Game Day, who had a hell of a day, hell of a weekend picking games in college football, he agrees with the under Clemson, Georgia Tech, which Michael Lombardi and I concur as well. That's 51 on the board. Speaking of the board, let's go to the Borgata and say hi to Thomas Gable. He runs the race and sports book there at the Borgata in Atlantic City. And we say hi, Thomas. How are you?
Doing well, guys. Happy Labor Day to you both.
And happy Labor Day
to you. Happy Labor Day to you. This is a big, hey, Thomas, I mean, Patrick doesn't know. This is a huge day here on the Jersey Shore. This is a lot of people are off. I bet the book's packed and crowded. And I would like to know one thing. When you were I don't know if you were at the book last night, but the reaction to the miss extra point had to be staggering.
You know, Michael, I was not here. I was home at that point last night. I'm sure it was. It was just watching that game. Listen, I'm not a never coached football on any level, including middle school. I haven't coached, but just watching that, the coaching decisions, I left me scratching my head on some of those plays.
Yeah,
me too.
Did it close 4.5 there? A lot. Did it close LSU 4.5 there? Because I see most books close 4, but I got a couple closing 4.5 last night.
Yeah, we actually closed 4.5. It was a good result. Good result for the house. LSU getting bet up there. But it was a heck of an ending. Entertaining game. Not exactly the most well-played or well-coached game, but entertaining nonetheless.
Yeah, no doubt.
It was a hell of a game. It was a wild ride over that last fourth. Okay, let's go tonight. We were just talking about the total, which I got the total Clemson Georgia Tech opening 50.5. Now it's been bet up a little bit to 51. Where did you open on the side, and where do you sit on the side? Because I saw some books open as low as 18 with Clemson laying it.
Yeah, we actually opened 19, and we opened total 50. Now the total did get down to 49 at one point. Now, as you said, up to 51, and the side here, Clemson's currently laying 24. So big number. They are certainly getting bet here. They're betting Clemson first half, laying the 13.5 on the first half line. And the overs, you know, it is getting bet. We have some liability right now to the over, both full game and first half over. First half is 27.5 is the first half total there.
And what was the first half number, Thomas?
13.5. 13.5.
Wow. Yeah, I think that 14-8 game from last year is sticking in the book's memory. I mean, because I don't know how Georgia Tech's going to block them up front. I think that's going to be a real issue in terms of keeping this thing as close as they can. Sims is going to be having to make plays running around, to me, just based on this matchup.
Yeah, it's certainly not a good matchup here for Georgia Tech going up against that Clemson defense. Obviously, what we want to see is how well the Clemson offense looks compared to what they were last year. That's going to be the thing that I'm most interested in seeing. We know what they are on defense. They have some pros there on that side of the ball, but I'm really interested to see what this offense looks like.
Overall for the book, week one will be in the books tonight after Clemson and Georgia Tech, but how'd the book do week one college football at the Borgata?
Couldn't have went any better, in my opinion, Patrick. It's we held really well. We had a big right, so you know, only a handful of decisions didn't go our way on Saturday. So I certainly can't complain. Got off to a great start for college week one. Very, very happy.
And how about the traction on week one in the NFL? Are you getting any early bets of the week? I know a lot of teams took off this weekend. Players are coming back in the building today. So we'll see, based on where the health-wise some of these teams are, we'll get some medical injury reports update. But what's been the game that seems to have drawn the most interest as you start this week off?
So, yeah, we can maybe touch on a few of the games that we've seen some movement on, and we'll actually kind of go to the end of Sunday, which is the primetime game there. Tampa going to Dallas. Tampa's only laying a point and a half now. And, you know, we opened this Tampa lane 2.5, got down to 1 at one point. But what we've seen here is it's interesting because we saw some money come in on Dallas when Brady took his leave of absence there from training camp. And obviously the circumstances behind that were murky at the time. Nobody really knew what was going on, if it was planned, not planned. And I'll just say it was respected money that did come in on Dallas at that point. And they took the 2. They were just getting bet almost every day, Dallas was. So it was interesting. We definitely have liability on Dallas in that game right now. That's the primetime game Sunday night. The other week one games that I think we've definitely seen some movement here, the Chiefs on the road against Arizona. The Chiefs opened as 3-point favorites. That's gone through that key number now. So they're up to 4.5-point favorites. That could potentially go higher. And, of course, our somewhat hometown team, the Philadelphia Eagles, laying 4 there on the road to Detroit. Eagles are getting bet heavily here. I do expect that number as well to get higher by on game day. And the Niners and the Bears, of course, up to a key number of 7. Niners laying 7 on the road to Chicago. And I think if there's one theme that we're seeing early on from bettors, they are fading the, we'll say, quote-unquote bad teams, or the teams that are expected to really struggle this year. So you're seeing people come in, fade the Bears, and, you know, lay the points with the Niners. You're seeing them fade the Texans and laying that big 8.5 number there with the Colts. And the same with the Saints and the Falcons game, which I know we talked about a little bit last Monday. That number has grown from where we opened at 3.5, now currently sitting at 5.5. And the thing to remember, all of these games, they have been on the board since mid-May. So they have been on the board for 3.5 months now. So people have had a chance to get better numbers. This Browns-Panthers game, you've seen big movement in that simply due to what has transpired with personnel. Watson is suspended. You know, Browns opened as a 4.5-point favorite there mid-May. End of June, you could still get +3 on Carolina. Then, obviously, they signed Baker, and now Panthers are 2.5-point favorites in that one, and the Panthers have been getting bet lately off that news. So a lot of movement. When there always will be a lot of movement when you have games on the board for this long and the public can bet into them. But that's just a little bit of synopsis of what we've seen so far heading into week one.
The stunner for me, and Michael, I'll get Thomas's take and then follow up with you. The stunner for me is it looks like the Giants are getting bet. Remember, for new bettors, 3, 7, 6 in that order, the key numbers in NFL betting. And we've seen the Giants, that number pushed to 5.5. So Tennessee opened 6.5. It's down to 5.5 through that key number of 6. Is that where you're sitting at the Borgata?
So I'm still at 6, Patrick. And okay. We do have more money on the Titans as we stand. More tickets have been written on the Giants, which, of course, we do take a lot of Giants money here, along with the Jets. The two New York teams get bet in Atlantic City. But we are still at 6, and we do have probably Titans. The money split right now, I would say, is about 60-40 right now, with 60% of the money on Titans.
You know, Thomas, what I always do every Monday is see, you know, because these games have been on the board, as you say, is to see how much action one team is getting. Like Indy on my board, not yours, this is why they're all different. Only 4% of the money's in on Indy. You know, only 5% on Cleveland. Only 8%. There seems to be a general sense that these teams that are supposed to cover these numbers maybe not cover them. And the game I wanted to hit you on is Detroit. That number hasn't moved. And yet it seems like everybody's betting Philly.
Well, they're certainly betting Philly here, and I do expect that number to move. So I think, you know, if you are backing the Eagles, I would expect a lot of money to come in on the Eagles the day of. And again, not just here locally. You know, the Eagles have, we've talked about many times, they're a team that a lot of people are high on across the country. So I look at that Eagles number now.
Thomas, just quickly, yep. Have you budged off 2.5 with Buffalo? Because we're going to come back and discuss that game. Buffalo Rams, 2.5. Have you budged?
No, we're still at 2.5. Bills laying 2.5 there.
Thank you, TG. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, TG. See you Thursday,
all
my
right,
man.
Thank
you.
We
yep.
will come back and discuss that one. Rams, of course, hosting the Bills, 2.5. Lombardi line.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, BetMGM customers, take note, because if you have a friend who loves sports betting as much as you do, here's a chance for both of you to earn $50 as we head into the NFL season. Sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account. Click on the Refer a Friend program right up in the upper right-hand corner to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up, you're good. You get $50, he or she gets $50, it's good to go. You're going to receive the $50 bonus as well. So, again, share the excitement at BetMGM and get $50 bonus for you and your friend. All promotions are subject to qualifications, eligibility requirements. It's got to be 21 years or older. If you have a gambling problem, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. Okay. Michael Lombardi there in New Jersey. He's back home. I'm Patrick Maher here in Los Angeles. And the next time you and I speak will be on Thursday, and we officially kick off the NFL season with the Rams hosting the Bills. The market's obsessed with the Bills. The market, the awards, obsessed with the Bills. Josh Allen, your MVP favorite. Here's, let's lay this out. It's 2.5 right now. The Bills are laying it at SoFi and the Rams. The number really hasn't budged. You had an opener of 52 on the total. We're up to 53.5. We know a lot about the depth. We know a lot about the Bills. Let's start here. The one unknown, they go from Daboll to Dorsey. Do you expect Dorsey as the OC to change anything up there as far as how he runs the offense?
And they hired Aaron Cromer as their new line coach. So they've kind of changed the offensive coordinator and line coach, two of the most important positions on the team. But I don't think this is going to affect them. I think they know who they are. I think Sean McDermott knows exactly what he wants out of his offense. I think Josh Allen knows, after these years of what they've been able to accomplish and after that game against the Patriots, what their offense needs to generate and how it needs to operate. So I don't anticipate that. This game opened up with the Rams and it flopped immediately. Remember, Patrick? I mean, it opened up with the Rams as a favorite. It went right to Buffalo, didn't it?
Open Rams won at most shops, and now it's sitting 2 the other way.
Yeah.
2.5.
I mean, there will be a Buffalo presence in Los Angeles. There's no doubt. The Bills fan, the Bills mafia will travel, and we'll see that. I just think, to me, one thing, early games last year, Buffalo struggled. Remember, they had a punt block last year against Pittsburgh. Special teams, Brian Kelly-ish, right? And Pittsburgh had no business winning that game. Their execution was horrible. Buffalo was able to execute in the opener, and they still lost the game. They got beat. I think Buffalo is a different team. What I liked and what we said yesterday on the show with Randy Mueller is Buffalo's energy, their intensity, their playing in the moment. And as good as the Rams played last year, I just think Buffalo is the better team. I can understand why they're the favorite in this game.
You know, the Bills certainly seem to be accepting or relishing the immediacy of this season, right? There is, the expectations are sky high. That seems to be the vibe coming out of the summer as we head into the fall in the football season. A couple of things here. I will say, just to push back on this matchup, and you take a look at the betting profile, we can throw that up for Stephen Bond's Bills. Win total set at 11.5 at BetMGM. You got to pay big time juice, $1.50 to the over. I mean, as far as Super Bowl, conference, division, they're favorites across the board. Let me just say this. You could carve the Rams up by throwing the football last year, but you couldn't really run against them. We understand Buffalo's base starts with the run, including the quarterback. The team was 0-4 last season when they rushed for fewer than 100 yards. The matchup isn't terrible in that regard as far as the Rams are concerned.
No, I don't think it is. I mean, look, the one thing that you got to give, look, this matchup is going to be Sean McDermott, Leslie Frazier versus Sean McVay. And the one thing McVay has going for him is he has, they're not changing what they do defensively. So McVay's had all offseason to prepare for this game, just like they've had all offseason. The more unpredictable defense in terms of scheme is Raheem Morris's. So I think without Tre'Darrius White, they're going to start a rookie at right corner and the Alam kid who they picked in the first round. So they're going to play him at corner. You know, the secondary, Poyer's been injured, but they say he's going to play. I think it gives them an opportunity. They'll know what they'll win. I fully expect the Rams to move the ball. Even though the Bills are viewed as an elite defense and they finished, what, number one in the NFL in defense last year, you know, you could move the ball. You could throw the ball, like you said, on because they're a zone-based team. They're a quarters coverage team. And McVay's very good when he has time to prepare for it. So I'm surprised the over has ticked down. I thought it would tick up. I think this is going to be an offensive – I think this is going to be a back-and-forth game. Both offenses move the football.
Oh, I think it's going to be back-and-forth. I think it's going to be a shootout. I totally agree with you. I think the Rams are going to be eager. They're the defending champs, Michael Lombardi, and they've got a team that got bounced last year in the postseason, of course, in Kansas City as favorites. McVay's young. He's ahead of the game on all of this. He's going to use the 2.5 as motivation. We get that. Question for you, not necessarily a question, but I think something you and I have been discussing is the availability as far as Stafford doing everything. It looks like he is medically cleared to do everything on the field.
And they're making a point to say it. You know, they're making a point to say it. But here's where I think it's interesting, right? When you go through Buffalo's schedule last year, okay, and you really pay attention to it. You know, they finished first in points allowed, first in yards allowed. Okay, so we go through it. Week five, they played Patrick Mahomes. Okay, elite quarterback. We'll say he's in my top 10 quarterbacks. There's no denying it. Then they played Brady in week 14, top 10 quarterback, right? Then they played the Kansas City Chiefs again in the divisional round, top five. Other than that, Patrick, they didn't play anybody else. I mean, Mac Jones isn't a top 10 quarterback. Ryan Tannehill's not one. New Orleans didn't have one. The Jets don't have. I mean, they didn't play one. And when you break their team down in those games and you study, I mean, they gave up 552 yards in the divisional round. 552 they gave up. You know, when they played Brady, they gave 488 up. So, you know, I just think to me, this, they're going to move the ball. McVay's too good, and they're too good to not move the football in this game.
I mean, I literally wrote down Buffalo's secondary was great overall statistically, but didn't deal with a slew of great quarterbacks. I wrote the same thing down that you were just saying. So I think the champs are getting disrespected here with the Rams. I think McVay's going to use that as motivation. But again, the immediacy, you do like the acceptance. McDermott didn't accept the blame for what he did in Kansas City, which he should have, but it does feel like they're relishing the role. And I think the acceptance of expectations for the Bills this year, I think you got to go into it like that.
No doubt. You know, and look, you know, we talk about the running game, but the Bills' running game, Allen's going to run the ball. There's no denying that. And Raheem Morris will cause some problems for them with his scheme and how he adjusts to that. You know, and they've got people in the secondary. They get Trey Hill back, who they really loved as the nickel corner, which will help. But the Bills are good offensively. There's no denying it. I mean, you know, I know they drafted Cook in the second round. We'll see if they get him going. Singletary, Moss, they've got guys. But this is all comes down to Josh Allen. It comes down to Josh Allen, and it comes down to their inside offensive line. Can Saffold be the guy that can block at left guard against Aaron Donald? I think that's a question mark. Can Ryan Bates be the guy at right guard? You know, he's bounced around the league quite a bit. Their inside is older and not as talented as you think. Now, he makes up for it because of his movement. There's no denying it. But I just think, to me, when you watch this game, the Bills are getting so much love. We forgot the Super Bowl champs are still the Super Bowl champs, as John Madden said. Nobody's dethroned them. And they can move the ball effectively on anybody. There's no denying that. And their defense, when they play, you know, they can make you play left-handed because Raheem's a really good defense coordinator. The matchups in this game aren't as tilted coaching-wise as you might think.
And I think the ability to stop the run for the Rams is going to be huge here. Remember, the Rams didn't allow more than 100 yards on the ground in 13 games last year. They go 11-2 in those 13. That is, I mean, this is...
Daboll didn't even want to run the ball last year. He would have just been, I mean, he would have just started out just throwing it every... He did. There are many games, he just come out throwing it. He didn't want to run it. And then where they kind of got to is when they were able to run the ball with Josh Allen. And when they got down the red zone, all of a sudden he became the lead runner. So, you know, I think they go into this game saying, look, we're not going to try to run the ball on the Rams. We're going to throw this thing. We're going to spread it out. We're going to get our playmakers the football. And, you know, I don't get the sense that they feel like they've got to slow the game down by run. If they try to establish the run, Buffalo, unless Josh Allen's establishing it, they're not going to establish anything in the run game.
And that's kind of what I mean by the run game. It starts with Allen. They have good backs, really, he's such an athlete. Over at DraftKings, regular season passing yards prop on Josh Allen, he's set at 4,400.5. So 4,400.5. If you were just to take a stab at that, would you go over
passing yards
for Allen?
I would. I think he's going to throw it. I think he's going to – look, they're going to play better quarterbacks this year. And when you play better quarterbacks, you're going to have to score more points. I mean, we just went through their schedule last year, and look, they did – but when they didn't play quarterbacks. They just didn't play good quarterbacks. They played average quarterbacks or young quarterbacks. They didn't play the elite quarterbacks. They're going to have to play better quarterbacks this year. Now, that's not saying they can't win. I love Buffalo's team, but I think it's going to be harder.
4,400.5 for Allen. Last year, he threw for 4,407 yards, so right around the total from last year. Last week, we started with where'd the number open, where's it sitting, and where's it going to close week one in the NFL. We'll continue with Michael Lombardi next here on the Lombardi Line.